With just a few months to the 2011 general elections, what does the public think should be done to combat election malpractices? Our reporter Milika Kungulu took to the streets of Mbale town to seek views of the public on their participation in vote counting.
Sadati Tiki, a computer technician on Naboa Road, said participating in vote counting leads to satisfaction.
Everyone builds confidence in me that the votes have been counted for a given candidate.
Mariam Nasanga, a student at Islamic University in Uganda, also believes that voter participation will limit election malpractices and make citizens more responsible.
I think the issue of involving us as voters in counting the vote in elections can go a long way in ensuring that there is no vote rigging, and in a way it can make us more responsible to safeguard the vote of the candidates.
I also caught up with Rogers Mayer, a lawyer by profession, who agrees to it and says it's a legal duty of the citizens and it will minimize election malpractices.
Like the word legal goes, it's a requirement of the law. People have voted, should be given a chance to participate in vote count. So doing that can check incidences of ballot stuffing that may cause irregularity.
Some of the political leaders, like the chairperson for Forum for Democratic Change, FDC in Mbale, Mr. Abudu Masaba, said,
"That is true, and we as a party alone, as the FDC, now that we are moved to IPC, we are promoting that spirit."
And Mr. Muzamiru Mukoli, a flag bearer for the National Resistance Movement, NRM, aspiring for the post of Local Council 5, also concurs with the voters' participation in vote counting, as he says it will prevent change of figures which manipulates the final result.
Yeah, it's important because they have to witness and know exactly how many votes have been casted. Because someone can say this one has got 1,000 when the number of the voters were 500. So people are supposed to witness.
However, the chairperson, Uganda People's Congress, UPC, Mr. Andrew Nyote, disagrees with the voter participation in vote counting, saying it makes no difference if the votes have already been cheated.
The witnessing has nothing to do with the cheating of elections, whether you are present or absent. For example, they bring the already ticked votes or they change the boxes and then they start counting.
From these views, it is clear that Ugandans' participation in vote counting is very important in the 2011 elections.
As Ugandans prepare for the 2011 general elections, there are speculations that there may be violence. Income FM took to the streets to seek the views of the public on how election violence can be averted.
Come February 2011, Ugandan will conduct its general elections. A cross-section of Ugandans said there is need to put up stronger measures to prevent election violence. Richard Wandela, a voter in Mbale municipality, thinks that the only solution to prevent election violence is by sensitizing aspirants and voters on the dangers.
I think the government decides what they should come up with that kind of sensitization. Because this is the problem in Uganda. Even me tomorrow, I come, you ask somebody, why have you stood? He said, me, I want to stood because I'm on opposition. One, because they're an NRM, but it doesn't have the spirit of serving. So that's why the election violence has that origin.
He, however, advised those intending to contest in different political parties to avoid using resources in exchange for votes. Mary Akurut, a resident of Nkoma, says dialogue is the only solution.
The last thing solution if there is any violence. People should sit down and hear from both sides and then they come to an agreement so that there should be no war. Going to the street will cause more chaos and it will not bring any solution to our problems.
Meanwhile, Peter Kutosi, an electoral official of Mbale District, says that there is a possibility that violence can be averted.
We think there are many ways that violence can be averted. On the onset, we are supposed to encourage all able Ugandans to participate in the governance of my own country. Therefore, he has to participate in registering, has to participate in the entire process that leads to the voting, then the final verdict. And once one knows that I participated right from the beginning to the end when the results were announced, I think that would reduce on the violence.
He adds that a lack of civic education has contributed to violence in recent days. He also suggests that mandated institutions should be funded by government.
Once people are sensitized and they know what they are supposed to participate in and what they are supposed to do, we expect that because we can't have such electoral violence. These electoral violences are brought about because many people don't know why they should vote.
Residents believe that with effective sensitization, election violence can become history.
For Income FM, I'm Christopher Kiring reporting.
All right, thank you so much. Welcome back. I hope you've heard that is the work, that is what my fellow journalists had to do from Kaira Complex, where they had the training on peace development and electoral journalism. Professor, according to those messages, what clings to your mind?
Well, I would just say in general that I'm very proud of the journalists. I thought they did an outstanding job. I thought that they covered substantive issues, important issues for the public, for the voters, and they covered them in a most professional way. You know, this is the seventh such seminar that I've given throughout Uganda, and as I told the journalists, these are the best election stories that the journalists in my workshop have produced yet. So congratulations to my journalistic colleagues. I thought they did an outstanding job.
Thank you, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. We are set to go for a short commercial break, and when we come back, we shall be in position to listen to some of the public service announcements. For us in Uganda, we call them sports messages. These ones are also related to peace, development, and electoral journalism. Stay tuned.
With the best law jams.
It is.
Elgon Lunch Hour on 103.2 OPG FM.
Raising voices. This is what I think.
Hi, my name is Juliana.
Juliana musician B. Zikiriza nti abana bantu. Chikwasenda kwa abana okutwalibwanga abapakasi. Mumaka, mubirombe, mubutale, na buli wamu nga abaddu. Nga twenonyeza ebyobugagga.
Whoever you are, you can do
so. Mukitiicho bako ne chokola okukomya okutulugunya abaana olw'ebyenfuna kubanga obulamu bw'omwana omutali kutulugunyizibwa buvunaanyizibwa bwa buli omu.
Raising voices because a fearless free childhood is everyone's right.
Something that's gonna pick you up and make you feel good
with the best law jams.
It is
Elgon Lunch Hour on 103.2 OPG FM.
All right, welcome back from that short commercial break. Let's get to listen to the public service announcements.
Silence, silence. I have bad news. The elections were not free and fair, and that led to my downfall. And being Ugandans, we have a right to change the results. We have to storm the Electoral Commission offices and set it ablaze. Councillor Bitama is right. Bitama, let's go.
Fellow countrymen and women, please calm down. Election violence is not a solution to this problem. As parents, you still need to nurture your children. Youth, you are the leaders of tomorrow and the pillars of this nation. There are other avenues of addressing this problem. For example, in the courts of law.
Dear voters, avoid election violence for peace, unity, and development of our country. This message is brought to you by the Peace Journalists of Uganda.
Khan, did you also escort your father to go for voting?
No, my father and others are voting in our house.
What are you saying?
My father and others are voting in our house.
Voting from your house? This is unacceptable. This has been the problem of elections in this country. Let me go and see what's happening. You people, what are you doing here inside here?
What is your problem? What have you seen? Can you mind your business?
Oh, you are rigging.
Who are rigging?
You are rigging. Let me go and call others. You people, come. Here. Let me call the police.
Oh, my throat!
Did you know that accepting to be manipulated into election rigging is dangerous to you and the country?
Please avoid participating in election rigging so as to avert violence. This message is brought to you by the Peace Journalists Association of Uganda.
Let's go and fight those people.
We have
stolen our votes.
Yeah, we have to fight.
My people, I'm with you. Let's pick our pangas and knives to fight for our votes, which have been stolen. Let's go and fight those thieves.
What is happening here? Hey, you people, are you planning to attack your opponents? No. That is wrong. Those are your friends. They are your brothers. Your sisters. Your children. Don't kill. Violence has no good, but now my children.
He's the man. Them. He's a coward. We have to get him.
Yeah, we are the people we are looking for.
That's a cat, my leader. You have got my cabin now.
Hey, look, you almost killed the poor Mzee Kaberu. Don't you feel for the people he feeds? What will they eat?
Good for me that stick there.
And you, Mr. Mabuse, who says fighting makes you a man?
The election pressure is very tempting, but remember to act responsibly and avoid the election violence.
This message is brought to you by the Peace Journalists of Uganda.
Mr. Masaba, why are you in such a hurry?
Do you know that there will be a campaign rally in Mbale Municipal Stadium where we must shield our candidates against Chiboko Squad?
And does that mean carrying knives and matchsticks?
Yes, of course. How can you defend him without weapons?
No. It is very wrong to harm people who will remain with you even after election.
I think you are right. There might be my cousins in the crowd. I think I should not go.
It is therefore important for the community to know that a violence-free political campaign begins with you.
This message is brought to you by the Peace Journalists of Uganda.
All right, thank you so much. Welcome back from those short messages. We're back in the studio again. Professor, any comment on those messages? Do they convey the message to the local people to shun violence?
Well, I thought so. I thought that they were very effective, professionally produced. Excellent job.
Do the Ugandan journalists, most especially the ones you've handled, do they have the potential? Do they have the potential? Or rather, let me direct that question to my colleagues. Do you have the potential?
Okay, I'll go first. I think we have absolutely everything we need. The potential is just in us. And one major thing I learned while we were carrying out that workshop, I think we, the journalists, are the voice of the people. And, you know, we have every right and all, you know, the ability to influence them. And if we influence them the right way, then I am absolutely sure that there will be no election violence.
All right, please.
Yeah, I do believe that we have the potential. Just that we've been in position to produce this. That tells that if we had such trainings earlier on,
yes,
we'd have been in position to do the work. The potential is there, but we have just been having a small gap for guidance, someone who will take us through in the best direction. But now, since we have been in position to get this direction, we have the potential, I believe.
So, Millie, what is your message to other journalists out there?
Yeah, other journalists, especially the female journalists, I just want to tell you that you are female. Yes, you can't do everything, but that can't stop you from doing the something that you can to stop the election violence. So don't think you are too woman to be effective.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, Emmanuel.
Yeah, what I should really tell my fellow journalists, that we still have the room to develop. To change from the way we have been writing stories, to begin being part of the people who make news and also make come up and make your own conclusion. The other thing what I've learned is that the way we've been doing our stories, sincerely speaking, it has been a top-bottom approach, in that we look for the newsmaker. What he has given us is what we give to the public, without cross-checking the facts and going back to the communities. But with what young blood has taught us, we are coming with a new form of journalism. This is what we mean, bottom-to-top approach.
Yes.
We need to go to the communities, listen to what they are going through, and then let it make a comparative with what the newsmakers are making, and then be on the side of the communities, because the communities are the ones always to suffer in most cases. So with this, I think, has been a very good approach. The other element is that most of us have been writing stories that in the end may lead to really violence. When you're writing a story, you say, I'm looking for the hard one. Did they fight? Eh? Did the other one abuse the other one? Then you say, yeah, I've got the story. I'm going back home. But today we need to change this and say, no. If the story is coming in this direction, how are we going to do this? The stories we need to write now are stories that have reconciliation, the stories that are going to give peace, the stories that are going to give solutions, and then the communities will be contented, comfortable with what's coming up. We need to come and bridge that gap between the communities and the newsmakers. And it's us who play this role. In most cases, we have always run stories or had programs that have always led to other violence, like Young Blood has given us, CBS and these other radio stations. I think, to the young journalists.
All right, thank you so much, Emmanuel. Professor Young Blood, what are your comments, observations, and maybe any advice?
Well, in terms of advice to journalists, I believe that my colleagues covered that pretty well. We just talked a great deal about how they frame the stories and how important that is. And by framing, I mean exactly how do they tell the story. So we use the example of the September riots in Uganda, in Kampala, as an example. And we talk about that there are several different ways that they could tell the story. One way that they can tell the story is to sensationalize it, to glorify the violence, to attempt to, as my colleague said, squeeze as much out of it, make it as juicy and salacious as possible, and that is by saying something like, Kampala is burning, to highlight the riots. So do you tell it that way? Do you say Kampala is burning? Or do you take a different approach and tell the story in such a way that it would minimize violence? So instead of Kampala is burning, I recommend to the journalists that what they might say is, Kabaka urges peace, which is exactly the situation. And it's too bad that that approach wasn't taken during the September riots, because those riots might not have occurred, or if they did occur, they would have been much less serious. So my message to the journalists is to understand the power that they have, particularly as radio journalists, and to use that power for a positive effect instead of the traditional way, which has too often been negative, particularly in the Great Lakes region of Africa.
All right. Thank you so much, Professor. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say that we have come to the end of our show. But before we leave this place, we want to convey our thanks to the participants, our fellow journalists who attended the training at Kaira Complex. Special tribute again goes to Gloria Chiro, who helped us in producing most of these messages, giving us guidance, editing, and so on. And not forgetting Jackie from the Uganda Media Development Foundation for mobilizing and also being there for us. And special thanks go to Professor Youngblood. Thank you so much. You've given us good knowledge. Thank you so much for the support. And Professor has something to say, I think.
Yes, just in closing, I wanted to thank OPG-FM for the time, and also to thank the U.S. Embassy Kampala and USAID for their tremendous support of this project. I'll be in 24 Ugandan towns and cities delivering this peace journalism message, and their support has been tremendous, and it's been a great week in Mbale, and I'm very proud of the journalists and the work that they've done, and I look forward to my return here. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. We wish you well. All right. Thank you so much, my host. In the studios, I had Professor Stephen Youngblood, my colleague Emmanuel Mango, and Millie Kakungulu, and of course, me, the host, Christopher Kring. Bye-bye, and have a wonderful lunch.